Take your Bible this morning, go to the book of Jeremiah. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah. We started a series of messages last week on the sins of a nation. And I felt like that the Lord would have us to continue in that to preach this morning. And let me say today that our nation is in a bad spot. Been in a bad place for quite a while. You need to understand that. We did not get to where we are as a nation overnight. I blame a lot of the problem of our nation on the church. I know that we're at the end times. I realize that. As Brother Billy Ricker says, we're in the last days of the last days. I believe Jesus could come at any moment. That's why you need to be ready. You need to be saved and that ready to go. And friend, let me say this today. You're going to turn around one day if you're lost. And folk that you love and that you cherish, they're going to be gone. And I don't know how to explain it any plainer than that. That when Jesus comes, He's coming for me. He's coming for the church. He's coming for those that He died for and have saved. Those are who He's coming for. And if you're unsaved today, friend, He will leave you here. And you're going to be here by yourself. And you need to understand that. And the Bible said over there, I believe it was in the book of 1 Thessalonians, that you would believe a lie, you'll believe in that the Antichrist, you'll take the mark of the beast, according to the Revelation chapter 13, and that be damned forever. And so today I encourage you and that to get saved. Let's stand to our feet and that across the house this morning if we would, as we reverence and that the reading of God's Word. Preacher, do you really believe that Jesus is coming again? I believe it. And that's why you need to get saved today, friend. You need to believe that and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But our nation this morning, as we've started this series of messages on the sins of a nation, and we preached on abortion last week, and that is a hideous sin. Friend, that God sees as an abomination. But let's begin to read in Jeremiah chapter 4. And the Bible says, "If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord, and thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory." It makes me think, as he said, when you get right, you'll swear that the Lord liveth. Listen, it makes me think that they hadn't considered God, that they hadn't even thought about God for a long time. Kind of sounds like our nation. We are a nation of godless people today. "For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defense cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion is come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He is gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl, for the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you and that for the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us and gave himself for us so that we might be saved. Lord, I thank you for him this morning, the one that come and visited with my heart one Sunday night, and I moved and asked him to save me, and he done just that. And Lord, there may be somebody here today that is unsaved, that does not know you. I pray they'll move and get saved today before it's too late. Lord, we ask blessed and pray that you would help us to preach now for just a little while. Lord, we certainly stand in need of you. And God, we just need a touch and that from heaven. There's nothing good in me except you. And God, I beg for your help today that you'd anoint us afresh. Lord, we ask today that you'd help the soul that might need help. I pray that you'd instruct every one of us in the Word of God and let us see the seriousness of the sins of our nation, that judgment is soon to come. God, I pray today you'd help that one again that's lost. Help the one that has a need, and we'll give the glory for it all. Save the sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. We do ask and pray, amen. And amen. You be seated this morning as we look in the book of Jeremiah, as he was warning them in the latter part of this chapter that judgment was coming. They were fixing to get carried away and that off down into the land of Babylon. Listen, he was warning them. He said the lion is come up from his thicket to destroy the Gentiles. Is on his way. He is gone from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Listen, Jeremiah was warning Judah and warning Israel that judgment is coming because of sin. Listen, but if you study the nation of Judah and the nation of Israel, they were too prideful and that to see that what Jeremiah was saying was true. All the other prophets were saying things was going to go well, things was going to go good, everything's going to be all right. We'll never see what Jeremiah is talking about. Listen, God come to a place over in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and he told them this. He said, the Lord God, their father, sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his word and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people, till there was no remedy. Now listen, notice where judgment fell at. Judgment fell on the people of God. Can I tell you today that, friend, that our nation owes everything to the God of heaven. Amen. Listen, you owe everything to the God of heaven today because of what he's done for you. But our nation has forgot God. They don't care anything about God. Don't say anything about the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, the one who can save men, women, boys and girls from their sin. Don't say anything about him. But he told them, he said, look, you're too prideful and that to get right. You're too prideful and that to see your own sin. Listen, it's much like it was in the end of the book of Judges over there when the Bible said there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Today, friend, God don't want us and that to do right in our eyes. He wants us to do right in his eyes, and that coming from the Word of God. Amen. We find what God wants out of this book today. But I want to preach, having a thought as we preached last week, and that on the sin of a nation, that of abortion. We are a nation of drunkards. Can I tell you that God is going to hold this nation responsible for the drunkenness that it's in? Do you realize that we're in a stupor as a nation? I mean, we're in a stupor not only from drinking, but we're in a stupor from they are legalizing marijuana everywhere. You ever think why they want to do that? Did you know that a population is better and easier to control when they're in a stupor? Friend, listen, if you're high on drugs, they won't get you to do anything, friend. Think about that for just a second. Easier to control. I've always said there's something wrong, and you are not to be smoking cigarettes either. But let me say this, they're demonizing tobacco and legalizing marijuana. I just don't understand that. I can't understand that. Why they demonize one and legalize another? It just don't make sense to me, does it? You know, a lot of things the government does don't make sense. Amen. But today I want to look for just a minute and try to stay off my soapbox, but preach what God's give us here today. Listen, I want to preach on drunkenness and being a drunk. The Bible says a lot about that. And I've preached over the years a lot, I guess, at times on what the Bible says about liquor and what it says about alcohol. I want you to take your Bible this morning and go over the book of Proverbs chapter 23. Now he told them, said, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight. Proverbs chapter, you know when folks used to get saved and they were drunkards, they'd quit drinking. Amen. Hey, now it's become popular and it's become the thing to do, the social drink. I'll deal with that here in a minute too. But take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 this morning. We're a nation of drunkards. Friend, listen, if it's in your house, you need to get it out today. Amen. I grew up in a house that didn't have it. You may not have been as so fortunate as I was. We was never around it. Didn't grow up around it. Didn't want to be around it. Still don't want to be around it, friend. Look in Proverbs chapter 23. He said, preacher, why are you so adamant? I want you to look in Proverbs chapter 23 and look in verse 29. The Bible said, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Well, that's a bad thing to have, ain't it? I mean, everything that he just said in that verse right there, he's asking a question, who has these things? They then, verse 30, he answers it. He says, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed drink, mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Number one this morning, I want you to look as we're talking about drunkenness and drinking alcohol. First of all, the trouble that it causes. There's nothing but trouble out of the bottle. Do you know that? Nothing but trouble. Amen. Hey, listen, he said right here, who hath woe? I mean, who hath grief in their life? Who hath sorrow? He asked the question right there. Listen, do you want woe and sorrow? You say, well, preacher, I can handle that thing. Listen, friend, I want you to understand something this morning. You can't handle it. A lot of great men have tried to handle it, and it handles them. Amen. It'll handle you. That bottle will not turn you loose. It's going to handle you. He said, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who has fightings all the time? Who has a struggle, if you would? Who babbles? He said, folk babble when they get like this. They just run off at the mouth and they don't make. You ever been around a drunk? You ever been around somebody that's drunk? Most time they're slurring their words. Amen? I'm just being, their tongue looks about that big, you know, to them. And they can't talk plain. They can't think straight. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But he said they babble. He said they just run off. Why? They're not in their right mind. He said they have wounds without cause. Why is that? They fell down, ain't they? They're staggering drunk. He talks about that over here at one point. I'll deal with that in a minute. He said they've got wounds without cause. In other words, they don't remember where they come from. Friend, I like being in my right. As much as my right mind drives me crazy sometimes, I like being in my right mind. I don't want to be on anything that takes me out of my right mind. And listen, when you drink liquor and you drink alcohol, or you drink anything that's got that in there, it's going to take you out of your right mind. He said, who hath redness of eyes? Look what it causes. Hey, we're looking at the trouble that's caused. Look what happens. There's woe and sorrow and contentions. And I don't think that I'm doing this justice this morning. I mean the fighting that it can cause. Look what else he said. What happens? The trouble that's brought on. He said down here in verse 33, he said, thine eyes shall behold strange women, thine heart shall utter perverse things. Do you know what it'll make men do? He's talking to men right here. And he said, you know what it'll do? He said, it'll cause you to behold the strange woman. The strange woman is that harlot over there. The strange woman is one that's going to sell herself. He said, look, it'll make you look at her instead of your wife. It'll make you lust after her. There's been a lot of marriages ruined because somebody got to drinking. Amen? Amen. Hey, listen, it takes inhibitions away. It takes away what men and women know to do right. Friend, it causes problems and lives this morning. So, preacher, we know this thing. You know why our nation's in the shape that it's in? Because folk are drinking. Folk are drinking. We are just a nation of drunkards. We're a nation of abortionists. We're a nation of drunkards. Listen, our town, I should have never stood for liquor by the drink, let alone and had to bring in liquor stores. And friend, now when you have something downtown, they can sell it down there too. Hey, what are we coming to, friend? He said, it's going to make your heart look for that strange woman. Notice what it said right here. He said, in thine heart shall utter perverse things. How does your heart utter perverse things? Comes from your mouth. But you know what the Bible said over in Matthew chapter 12? He said, oh, you generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Boy, what's in the heart begins to come out. Things that you normally wouldn't say, the way that you normally wouldn't act, you know what comes out? Shows what's in your heart. He said it begins to utter perverse things, those things that are corrupt, and those things that you should not be doing. Then look what it says right here, the end of it right here. It biteth like a serpent. He says at the last, it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. You ever been bit by a snake? I never have. But what he's talking about here, that serpent and that adder is a European snake over there. By the way, if you study that thing, and you'll find out that as that snake bites you and it injects its venom into you, it's poisonous, ain't it? And it's going to create you so many problems. He said, at the end of the thing, not at the beginning. Listen, it always paints a pretty picture at the beginning, but at the end, that thing stings and biteth like a snake. There's pain going to be involved. Notice what he said right here in verse 34. It's just like lying down in the midst of the sea. You ever been in a raft or been in the sea on a float or maybe floating on your back on them waves and it's just up and down? You ever been up in the mast of a ship as it's tossing to and fro in the sea? The higher up you get in that mast, the more that it rocks back and forth. That old trunk, he comes in staggering and can't stand up. I've been around folk that I've worked with over the years that would drink. And they'd drink on the job. And I've seen them so drunk. And they ought not to have been driving, but I've seen them so drunk, friend, that they could barely stand up at work. I've seen them so drunk. I've seen them have the DT so bad. I mean, that's how much they've drunk. They're alcoholics. By the way, the Bible calls them a drunkard. The world calls them an alcoholic. The Bible calls them a drunkard. If you can't live your life without that stuff, you're a drunkard. Hey, listen, I've seen them get the DT so bad at work, they would have to quit work, go down to the gas station, get a 12-pack of beer, and drink it and come back to work. You want something to control your life that bad? I'm not kidding, I've seen that before. I mean, them boys would get the DT so bad that they would shake and they couldn't work. We had one old boy for a while that worked over there in the wood department and he kept a 6-pack with him every day. Nobody said nothing. That's who you want driving your tow motor around the plant, ain't it? You get run over, friend. Notice what he said. They're tossing and staggering back and forth. They're back and forth. I've been around them drunks when they couldn't stand up. And he says it takes away the feeling from you. He said, they have stricken me. And thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me. I remember we had an old boy over at the plant years ago. His name was Sam. I can't remember Sam's last name. But I remember he had got drunk out of the bar one night and he come in and man, he was beat black and blue all over. I don't know who he messed with, but man, they had him on the ground and they beat the far out of him. He said, I was trying to roll over and get my head covered up. That's really what you want to do, ain't it? That's the way you want to live your life, ain't it? In and out of the bar rooms, in and out of just drinking, that brings you to a place. Hey, listen, I have no doubt he said he was 10 foot tall and bulletproof as the old saying he is, and somebody proved to him that he wasn't. He said, I was not sick, they had beaten me, and I felt it not. He didn't feel it then, but I guarantee you the next day he felt it. when he sobered up a little bit. You didn't feel it at the time. It does take that pain away. And he says, when shall I awake? He says, look, Solomon said, in that stupor, you're not awake. We've got a nation of people that are actually in a stupor. Think about that for just a second. He said, when shall you awake? When are you going to come to your senses? When are you going to do this stuff? When are you going to sober up on it? Look at what he said at the last right there. I will seek it yet again. Solomon said, look, he said that drunkard, out of everything that he goes through, out of all that sorrow and that woe and them contentions and that babbling and them wounds without cause and being beat on and all that tossing to and fro and the life being turned upside down, he says when he does awake, he'll seek it yet again, knowing what it's going to do to him. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22, but it happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. See, I can preach against it all that this world could hear, but until they come to Jesus, it ain't going to make no never mind. He's the only one that can. I mean, you can put them through a 12-step program, and all those things are probably good, but if they don't present Christ through that stuff, their life is not going to be any different. You and I have no business fooling with that stuff. Amen. Hey, listen, we have no business fooling with it. Listen, we need to get folk brought to Christ. Hey, we try to get folk to quit drinking. And you know what you're going to have? A sober sinner. But if you can bring them to Christ, listen, you can get them saved in. Hey, He'll make the difference in their life. He'll make the difference. I'll never forget, I may cut this out of the when it goes on the radio, but and Brother Ted told his church this when Brother Ted Pegram was going through cancer. I think the second time or the last time. I remember him, he told me personally, then he told his church, and he said it got so bad on me one night dealing with that cancer, worrying about it. He said, I knew that if I went to get something to drink, because see, Ted had been a drunkard until he was 30 years old. And when he got saved, God saved him from that. He said, I used to have a beer set on my nightstand of the nighttime. And he said, I knew God was going to bother me in the night. And he said, I'd crack that thing open in the middle of the night and drink it and go back to sleep. He said, God would bother me. And he said, but my cancer got to worrying me so bad. He said, about 1 o'clock in the middle of the night, He said, I went out there to the gas station, and he said, I walked in there, and he said, I put my hand on that door to open that cooler. And he said, I looked at that. He said, I turned around, left where I was, went out there and sat down in my truck and cried for what I was about to do, and went back home and got in the bed and went to sleep. Listen, there are times that old life will sneak up on you if you ain't careful. And you got to realize that, boy, it eats at you. And it'll try to come and get you back. But listen, I'm glad God helped Brother Ted. And let me say this today. I know that if he helped him, he'll help you today. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I understand and know those things. But listen, I want you to understand something. It causes some problems. It causes some trouble in your life. I want you to look at the cost of it. Not only does it cause some problems, but you know there is a cost to it. Our nation wonders why we're in the shape that we're in. There's some, you know, physically it causes some problems. It'll cause you a hangover. Amen. I've took medicine before that would cause you to have a hangover. I don't know why people would do that, knowing that that's what's going to happen to them. Think about it for just a second. I remember one time I come off some cough medicine one time, and I don't know why. At least I ain't never took it since then. I'm telling you, I felt better not taking it than I did taking it. Now, what's that tell you about it? I don't know what percentage of alcohol was in that cough medicine, and I'm going to deal with that here in a minute too. Don't you worry. Amen. Listen, there's a cost to it. You know that it costs people money? They spend money on that. You know you got to pay for it. People just don't give it to you for free.
Imagine how much money people could keep in their pocket if they didn't spend it on beer and liquor. And I didn't do any study real much about how much is spent on beer and liquor through our nation, but I do know this, that if it was not a profitable venture, then people would not be opening liquor stores. I would not thought that it would have been profitable in McMinn County, in Athens, Tennessee. This just shows you how naive I am about who drinks, that it would not have been profitable to open as many liquor stores as we have. I never would have thought that it would have been profitable to open liquor stores in Sweetwater, Tennessee. I never would have thought that it would have been profitable to open liquor stores in Edwell, Tennessee. I never would have believed that. I mean, you couldn't have sold that on me to say that there is enough people that is going to drink in a four-county, we'll just say a four-county region, that it could sustain all those liquor stores. Now, as many people says that they're saved and goes to church, I'm just going to ask you a question. Reckon how many of them venture into that liquor store? You know something? Let me say this. My car would have to break down, and I coasted into the parking lot, and I didn't realize where I was before you'd catch me in one of them places. I used to pick up lottery tickets that was on the ground and see if somebody scratched them off, and then I'd throw them away. I don't even do that now. If they're laying on the ground, they're going to lay on the ground. I don't want somebody to think that I bought a lottery ticket. I'm going to deal with gambling too. Just wait. Some of you got on that too while we're at it. Gambling wants you to get something without working for it. Hello? Boy, it's going to be a good one when I preach on that. I'm going to see that now. There's a cost to drinking. It costs you your health. People die from it. People get cirrhosis of the liver. They get throat cancer. They get mouth cancer. Get esophageal cancer from drinking. Get out here and drink and drive. And not only can it cost you your life, but you can cost somebody else their life. And if you do that, if you get out and cost somebody else their life, you know what you've done? You've cost yourself your life. Because they will arrest you, they will try you, and they will put you in jail, friend. Take your Bible and go to the book of Isaiah chapter 5. Am I doing okay this morning? Hope I'm making sense to you. I didn't want to get on my soapbox, but I want to preach to you what God's got to say about it. Not what Mark has to say, but what God has to say. Isaiah chapter 5, look in verse 11. I'm talking about what it costs you. It costs you physically, but it will cost you spiritually. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. He said, and the harp and the viol, the tabret and the pipe, and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of their hands. Let me back up here for just a minute. Reckon why the honky tonks and the beer joints and all those places has got a jukebox in it. There's always music involved. Have you noticed that? Always. No, notice what he said right here in the book in the book of Isaiah. What he said, they follow it from day till night till it inflames them, and the harp and the viol and the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast. Man, they're just having a big time. They're playing music. But they regard, now look what it does. Look what it does to them or not allows them to do. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity. Ah, look at that there. What had brought them to that place? Well, that drinking had, hadn't it? That drinking had kept them from regarding who God was. He said, therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. So judgment was coming. He said they would not consider God. They were more concerned about having their feast and following the wine and that, going after their own good time than following God. He said they have not considered regard. Said that they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. You know why some people don't regard God? They're in a stupor. They're more concerned about chasing the bottle, chasing the beer can, than they are about finding out what God has to do for them. Trying to find out what God, if He could save them or not. And they would find out that God could save them if they would just come to Him. There is a lady over, and I find people like this here. There is a lady over there in the nursing home. And me and her have become friends. She don't come and hear me preach, but we have become friends. And she smokes. And I said, I'm going to pray that God just takes them things away. She said, oh, preacher, don't do that. She said, that's the only thing I got in here to enjoy. Now, I'm going to tell you, when you get to where God wants you to be, living for Him is enjoyment. But you know what? You know what the world thinks? That's all they've got to enjoy in this life. Is that can, that beer bottle, that liquor bottle, that's the only thing that brings them enjoyment in their life. You know, that's a sad state to be in if that's all that brings you enjoyment. I hate being out of my right mind. I hate it. I like to have my faculties about me. I want to have my faculties about me. But here are people that all they want to do is follow after the bottle, follow after that music. You know why I don't listen to country music? Most of it's about drinking. The same man that sung that I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee, who sung that, Merle Haggard, he's also the one in the 1980s sung that I think I'll just stay here and drink too. Now some of y'all ain't got, these kids in here ain't got a clue what I'm talking about. And I used to love to listen to Merle Haggard sing. I did. I loved that old country music. But friend, when you begin to listen to it, and I mean really, really listen to what they're talking about. Friend, he's talking about nothing but drinking. I don't need that in my mind. Because when it gets drove into my mind, you know where it's headed? It's headed into my heart. Well, preacher, you're saying that should not bother you. You get out in the world and see how much it bothers you. Friend, you got to keep yourself separated from things. But it's getting good now, ain't it? There's a cost to it. You know that it'll cost you your family. It'll cost you your job. There's a boy that I worked with. He laid out on 3-day drunk one time and they fired him. Cost him his job. Just saying. There's a cost to it. Cost you joy. Cost you your right mind, your sound mind. Then it creates your own judgment, don't it? Take your Bible and go to the book of Proverbs chapter 31. Go back to Proverbs chapter 31. Or go to Proverbs 31. Not back, you ain't been there yet. Go to Proverbs 31. Talking about that it messes up judgment. Proverbs 31. You know, there is a lot of daddies that would never beat their wife or their children till they got drunk. Why? They had better judgment when they were sober than they did when they were drunk. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 31. Look in verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine. Or for princes, strong drink. Why? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. As
The king's mother was telling him here, I believe it was his mother that was telling him these things in verse 1. One, that she told him to stay away from the strength of women because it destroys kings. But then she comes down here and says, don't be drinking wine. She says, stay away from the alcohol. Why? Because if you drink, you're going to forget the law. You're going to forget what's right. You're going to forget how to, you're going to pervert judgment, and you're going to forget how to stand for the afflicted. Proverbs chapter 20 put it like this. Wine is a mocker and strong drink is a raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It'll deceive you every time. I've yet to figure out why people want to pop pills. The same pills that they're popping, they prescribe for me after surgery, and I can't stand to take them. I hate them. Why? They take me out of my right mind. So, preacher, if your mind was like mine, listen to me. If I could let you in here sometimes, it would scare you. And I'm glad you can't get in here. And I'm very thankful that I can't get into your mind. Y'all ought to have said amen right there. I mean, there's been things that I thought, and I'd go, man, where did that come from? That was wicked. That was vile. We're just talking about it yesterday, wasn't we, Hunter? Watching Criminal Minds on TV, Hunter said, man, then you begin to wonder if you can get away with murder or not. Well, I know what was in his mind. Betty, you better be careful, honey, is all I'm going to tell you. Well, see how our mind works? He's in his right mind and sober-minded. Back in the day, I told you I used to listen to country music. When I worked over at the spa company, that was about only one of the radio stations we could pick up where I worked at in the middle of the building. And as a boy walked through one day, Junior was just a good old boy, but he needed Jesus. And Junior was a drunk. He drank every weekend. Now, he wouldn't drink through the week because they couldn't function at work if they drank through the week. But boy, when Friday night coming on, man, they laid up drunk from Friday up until Sunday. They'd sober up on Sunday and come back to work. And I remember he come through there, through my workshop one day, and that country music was playing, and he stopped and he turned around and he says, I don't know how you stand this. He said, I'm wanting to shoot myself right now. He said, if I was laid up drunk, I would. Now, I know he was kidding. In one aspect, but in another, he was telling the truth. Why? Because he knew it was going to affect his mind. Listen, it was going to affect judgment. Hey, do you know why? You know how we have so much bad judgment out here? People are drinking. Preacher, you're making it sound like that everybody's drinking. I don't think everybody does, but I'll be honest with you. I think there's more people than what you think. I think there's more church people got it in their home than what I think. It affects your judgment. You know why they won't let you drink and drive? Affects your judgment. You can't be on. You know why? You know why that boy got killed down here? That night, that's on the old road, wasn't it, Brother Jeff? When the curves were still down here. Most of y'all don't remember that. When the road used to, before it topped over the hill, it barred to the left and then it barred back to the right and come out further down here. Man, it was dangerous down there if you don't know the truth. And he got down here and he ran off up here in the yard. I mean, them boys was just a flying when they come through here. But you know what caused him to lose his life down there? He was drinking. He was drunk. Preacher, I can do that without it getting a hold of me like that. Okay. I doubt that Lot figured that his daughters would have an ancestral relationship with him too. Out of Genesis chapter. Hey, Lot done some things over there in Genesis chapter 19 that I don't believe he normally would have done had they not got him drunk. Go over and read it sometimes. Folks' judgment gets messed up. Wine is mocker and strong drink a raging, and whosoever deceived thereby is not wise. It will deceive you. But then people make a case for drinking. They argue the point. Not only worldly people, but church people. Well, they say, well, Jesus turned the water into wine. You think that was alcoholic wine? I can prove to you that it wasn't. Do you know that wine is a generic term in the Bible?
You know that wine means three things in the Bible. Wine can mean grape juice. Wine can mean the grapes hanging on the vine. Or wine can actually mean alcoholic beverage. Deuteronomy chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, or the Lord said right here, He said that I will give you the rain of your land in its due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. You know, you don't gather in wine. What are you gathering in? You gather in grapes, don't you? You don't gather in oil. What do you gather in? Well, you gather in them olives over there, didn't you? That's how they made their olive oil. 2 Chronicles 31. And as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruit of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things they brought in abundantly. Here again, he said they brought the first fruits of corn and wine and oil and honey. Those were things brought out of the field. Proverbs chapter 3. He said, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, you can't put the grapes in the press and stomp on them and get wine out of them. Not alcoholic wine. You get grape juice out of the press. Ain't that right? I mean, let's just use a little common sense as we read the Bible. Isaiah chapter 65. He said, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster. Where's the cluster? Well, that is the vine that's got the grapes hanging on them. And he said he called it new wine over there. He said, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one said, destroy it not, for blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake that I destroy them not all. Or not destroy them all. So we find that it's the grapes still hanging on the vine, that even the Bible refers to them as wine. When they're brought in and made into juice, it's referred to as wine. And then the Bible refers to in Proverbs 23, look thou not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. That's when it's been fermented. Now I'm a little ashamed to tell this. Y'all remember Y2K back from 1999 to 2000? Y'all remember that? We were all afraid that man's greatest invention could not count from zero to one. I mean, basically that's what everybody was afraid of. I've told very few people this. But you know one of the things that I learned how to do before Y2K ever came? And that was how to make liquor. So, Bridget, why would you do that? You can rent a car on that stuff, or at least they did on the Dukes of Hazzard anyway. Which, by the way, let me park there for just a second while I'm at it. As much as I love that show, where did them boys always end up at? Well, they ended up down there at the Boar's Nest. What were they doing? Well, they were drinking. You know, as much as I love to watch the Andy Griffith Show, hello, what did that show teach us how to do? It taught us how to make fun of a drunk, didn't it? Think about it for just a second. It taught us how to make fun of a drunk. Wasn't that bad. Otis was a good old man. Think about that for just a second. They said at one time that he even went to church with them. I'm just saying, I don't know how I got there, but ain't that good. He said, don't look at it when it moves itself aright in the cup. So we know that wine can be alcoholic. But we're talking about the wine that Jesus made over there in the book of John. In John chapter 2, when he turned the water into wine, was it alcoholic? The book of Habakkuk said in chapter 2 and verse 15, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Now let me ask you something. What was the Lord Jesus Christ going to break the law? Was the Lord Jesus Christ going to tell us to do one thing, and him do another? Well, no. He said, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor to drink and putteth the bottle. If he turned that into alcoholic wine over there, then he's doing exactly what he said not to do in the book of Habakkuk. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You know, he came to save them people. not turn people into that. Hey, Matthew 5 said, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill." What about when the Passover cup was over there? Was it liquor? Was it alcoholic? Hey, listen, they said in the book of Exodus 12 that all leaven had to be put out of the house. You can't have alcoholic beverage without leaven. That's yeast. That's what causes it to ferment. He said, "Well, preacher, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, the Bible said, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake." He's talking about medicine. People always want to have an excuse or a reason to do what they want to do. I'm talking about the sins of a nation. We're a nation of drunkards. We live, and especially me, I'll be honest with you, I still live a sheltered life. I didn't see none of that stuff till I was 19 years old, till I went to work at the spa company years ago. I never seen that stuff, never been around it. You're talking about culture shock. But it's out there. Can I ask you a question? Can a saved person be caught up into that? Sure. 1 Corinthians 5 said, "But now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother," saved person, "be a fornicator, a covetor, an idolater, a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat." No, not to eat. Yeah, saved people can be caught up in it. You say, "Preacher, I'm just going to partake a little bit." The Bible said in the book of Galatians, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little sin turns into a big sin. You know the problem with our nation? Why we're drunkards? Why our nation is drunkards? The men who stood where I stand, I'll be honest with you, did not take a stand against it. I talked to a gentleman the other day. He said they were having a men's meeting at their church. And I got to be very careful right here what I say. And he said, and this was years ago, and he said, this gentleman that was supposed to normally lead the meeting couldn't come. So this other gentleman led the meeting. And he said, "Well, I just think I'll just tell you tonight a little bit about myself, who I am, and my wife." He said, "So we had a group of men in the church, and we're having a meeting." He said, he gets up there, and... he says, "Now," and he begins to tell us, he said, now look," he said, I drink beer." Well, this is in a Baptist church. He said, "I buy my beer along, and I'll set out in my backyard and I'll drink it." He says, "I don't go out and drink." He said, "I don't publish it, but he says, I drink it." And he said, "And by the way," he said, "we set so much money back a week, me and my wife does, to buy lottery tickets." You know, the Bible said to abstain from the appearance of all evil, by the way. Ain't that exciting? And he said, I was sitting there listening to this fella talk about how that I'm not going to change. That's who I am. That's what I do. Can I tell you, when Christ Jesus gets a hold of you, He changes you. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new." Y'all know that scripture. And he says, "Now, I don't know if anybody's got a problem with it or not." He said, "Man," I jumped up. He said, "The preacher didn't even say nothing." He said, "Yeah, I've got a problem with it." He said, "You see that covenant back there?" And by the way, if you read that covenant back there, it'll tell you to abstain from alcoholic beverages as a drink, by the way. Alcoholic drinks is a beverage, I believe is what it says. Now, I understand that thing in Scripture, but I can guarantee you it's based on it. Now, you can do what you want to, and I can't stop you. But I'm going to tell you right now, judgment's coming to our nation, not only because we're a nation of abortionists, but because we're a nation of drunkards. God's going to judge that. And if you don't think so, you're sadly mistaken. God's going to judge that sin one day. I don't want to be a part of it. I don't want to be around it. But I can tell you this right now, that Christ Jesus the Lord can forgive you of it and take it away. You look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to close. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Boy, it's been exciting this morning, ain't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We go to chapter 9. I quoted some of this just a few minutes ago. We go to chapter 9. I didn't where I wanted to be. I'm in chapter 9. No wonder it didn't look right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Who was one in that? The drunkard was, wasn't he? And look in verse 11. He said, and such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. He's the one that does the saving this morning. I know drunkards can give it up. We had a gentleman out there that lived next to our house and had been a drunk for years. And I don't know how many times he'd went through the 12-step program. I don't know, but he eventually quit drinking. But you know, just shortly before he died, God saved him. Now, he'd have had a whole lot better life if he would have just got saved and just let God help him with it. But we're a nation of drunkards. God's going to judge our nation one day. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying that we need to stand up and be accounted for on this thing. You say it's already got so far. Teach your children. Teach your children that it's wrong. Teach your grandchildren that it's wrong. To stay away from that, let your voice be heard when you're at work, when you're out in the world. Let your voice be heard, friend. You say, well, people will mock me in life. Hey, that's the problem we've got now. Nobody wanted to stand up. And when they brought the liquor stores in, I'm just as guilty as everybody else. Instead of complaining about it, the preacher could have done something about it. It may not have fixed nothing, but the preacher could have done something about it. I think God's going to hold us accountable as a church, friend, for not taking our stand when we could take our stand. Let's bow our heads across the house this morning. So we come and get a verse of invitation. I don't know what you're going to do with the message this morning. There may be somebody in your home, in your house, in your family that is a drunkard. You might want to come and pray for them. I wish you would. There may be some boys or girls that you work with that's that way that you might want to come and pray for them. Pray for them that Jesus would save them. That's what needs to happen. It's for the Lord Jesus. So I'm praying if you need to come and pray this morning. If you'd like to come and pray. But I'm going to tell you, our nation is in a shape this morning. Because this right here has slipped into the church. It may be in your home. I hope that it ain't. I've been in most of your homes, but not in all of them. Friend, I hope it's not in your home. Friend, because it's just going to do nothing but lead you down the wrong path if it is. If you need to come and pray, I want you to come and pray this morning.